Welcome to another deep dive. This time, we're going to explore the amazing world of island moths.
Yeah, islands really are like these little evolutionary labs. You can see how species have to adapt.
Exactly. It's like a little sneak peek at evolution in action. And we've got a research paper that takes us right into that world. It's called Species Traits Predict Island Occupancy in Noctuid Moths.
Catchy title.
Well, it gets right to the point. And the authors are Marcus Franzén and Per Erik Betzholtz.
And their goal was to figure out what traits help moths be successful when they colonize these islands.
So, where did they set up their moth laboratory?
Well, they picked two Swedish islands, Utklippan and Gotska Sandön.
Okay. And are these islands like similar at all?
Actually, they're quite different. Utklippan is small and rocky, while Gotska Sandön is larger and has a lot of pine forests.
Oh, wow. So two very different environments. Did they also look at like a control group?
Yeah, they compared the island moths to a species pool from the mainland. Seven provinces in Sweden, actually.
So that's like their baseline, right?
Exactly. All the potential moth adventurers that could end up on the islands.
Okay, makes sense. So how do they actually track these moths?
They use light traps, a specific kind called the Ryerholm light trap.
Okay, and why that one?
Well, it's known to be really effective at attracting these nocturnal insects.
So it's like a moth magnet. And I heard they actually discovered some new moth species while they were at it.
Yeah, on Gotska Sandön, it just goes to show how much there still is to learn about biodiversity.
Totally. Okay, so let's get into the nitty-gritty. What did they find out about the traits that make a moth a successful islander?
Well, one big thing was being a generalist. Moths that could eat a variety of plants were much more likely to be found on the islands.
So being a picky eater isn't a good strategy if you're trying to make it on a new island.
Exactly. It's like if you could eat anything, pizza, sushi, tacos, you'd never go hungry.
Makes sense. And what about like their flying abilities?
Well, they found that moths with a wider range in Europe, meaning they'd already traveled farther, were also more likely to colonize the islands.
So it's like they're the experienced travelers of the moth world.
Yeah, they've got those long-haul flights in their genes.
And is there anything about like the time of year they're active?
Actually, yeah. Moths active in late summer, August and September, were more common on the islands.
So it's all about timing, like catching the right flight.
It seems that way. The researchers think the warmer temperatures might help them move around more.
Ah, so a little bit of strategic planning never hurts, even for moths.
And it gets even more interesting when you combine flight time with their habitat. The moths that could fly longer and were either comfortable in coniferous forests or weren't too picky about habitat were the most successful.
Okay, so it's like a winning combination of traits. You got to be a generalist, a good flyer, and have flexible habitat preferences.
Absolutely. It's not just one thing, it's a whole package that helps them thrive.
But here's something that surprised me. I would have thought bigger moths would be better at reaching islands, but they found that size didn't really matter.
Yeah, that's one of the really interesting findings. It seems that just getting to the island isn't enough.
So it's like winning the lottery, but not knowing what to do with the money.
Yeah, you got to be able to survive and reproduce once you get there. Find a mate, avoid predators, all that.
It's a whole other level of challenge.
You know, the really cool thing is that even though these two islands are so different, the same traits predicted moth success on both of them.
Oh, interesting. So it's not just about adapting to a specific island. It's like there's a set of skills for island living in general.
Right. And that points to these broader ecological principles at work.
Like a universal key to island life.
Exactly. It suggests there might be patterns in how species adapt to changing environments that go beyond just one specific place.
That makes me wonder if these same principles apply to like birds colonizing islands or plants on a volcanic island.
Yeah. It shows how connected nature really is, even across different types of organisms.
It all comes back to evolution, right? It's amazing how it can shape species in similar ways, even in totally different environments. And speaking of evolution, I'm curious about those moths that don't have these advantageous traits. What about the specialists, the ones that are picky eaters or have a limited range?
That's a really important question, especially as habitats are getting more fragmented.
Like, are they just doomed in these changing landscapes?
Well, it's not quite that simple. Evolution is always happening, and just because a species isn't perfectly adapted right now doesn't mean it can't change over time.
So there's still hope for those picky eaters.
Definitely. We might even discover they have hidden strengths we haven't found yet.
It's like they have a secret weapon we haven't uncovered.
Exactly. Evolution is full of surprises.
I guess it all comes down to striking that balance between being a generalist and a specialist, kind of like a delicate dance shaped by natural selection.
That's a great way to put it. And this research gives us some clues about how that dance is playing out for moths on islands.
So how can we use this knowledge to actually help moths and other insects that might be struggling?
Well, by understanding which traits make species more vulnerable, we can focus our conservation efforts better.
So if we know that specialists are more sensitive to habitat loss, maybe we should prioritize protecting larger connected areas.
Exactly. It's about creating networks of safe havens where they can thrive.
I guess it all starts with understanding those connections, right? Seeing how everything fits together.
You got it. And recognizing that even small changes can have a big impact.
This deep dive has really been eye-opening. I'm seeing moths in a whole new light now.
Me too. They're much more complex and fascinating than we often give them credit for.
You know, it's interesting when we talk about these moths and their habitats, I was thinking about how we categorize them like forest moth or grassland moth. It seems almost too simple, doesn't it?
You're right. It's easy to get caught up in those neat categories. But in reality, things are much more fluid.
Yeah, nature doesn't really follow our labels, does it?
Exactly. A moth might prefer a certain habitat for breeding, but then go somewhere else to feed or find shelter.
It's like they have different spots for different activities.
Yeah, it's a good reminder that habitats are all connected. They're not just these isolated islands.
So it's not just about whether a certain plant or habitat is there. It's about that whole web of interactions and how they change when the environment changes.
Exactly. It's like this giant puzzle where everything is linked.
And each piece is important.
Right. And I think this study is just the beginning. You know, they looked at these broad habitat categories. But I think future research could go deeper.
Like instead of just saying coniferous forest moth, we could figure out exactly which trees they, like what they eat, where they hide, all that stuff.
Exactly. Getting into those specifics could help us create even better conservation plans.
So like if we know a certain moth needs a particular kind of plant, we can make sure to protect that plant.
Right. It's all about those little details and understanding that even small changes can make a big difference.
This deep dive has really opened my eyes to the world of moths. I never realized how much there is to learn.
I know, me too. There's so much more than just those little creatures fluttering around lights.
Any parting words of wisdom for our listeners?
Well, I'd say embrace your inner naturalist. You know, pay attention to the world around you. Ask questions. Don't be afraid to get curious.
Like those researchers who found new moth species just by changing up their light trap.
Yeah, you never know what you might discover even in your own backyard.
And remember, even small actions can make a difference when it comes to protecting these amazing creatures.
Absolutely. Every little bit helps. So until next time, keep exploring and stay curious.
It's been a pleasure exploring the world of island moths with you. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive.
The pleasure was all mine. Thanks for having me.